Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our public schools with Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute in beautiful Houghton, New York. Ralph, welcome back to the program, sir. Great to have you today.
Thank you, Bob. And it is beautiful today in downtown Houghton.
Always is. Let's talk about Wallet Hub, who does a lot of surveys, and we put them on the air a lot here at Family Life. They did a survey last week on the best states to be a teacher in. And oddly enough, New York and Pennsylvania ranked fairly well in this survey. How did those two states do, Ralph?
I'm not sure why you say oddly enough, Bob. We have pretty good schools in both Pennsylvania and New York. The criteria here related to average salary, starting pay, pensions, tenure protection, and then a lot of intangible kind of stuff, more like student-teacher ratio and environments in the school, some of which are really hard to measure. But yeah. North Dakota actually placed first, which really surprised me.
I saw that, yeah.
I've been to North Dakota, and I'm surprised there's even a school there, let alone that they ranked first.
Yeah, so now all the teachers are going to be moving to North Dakota, Ralph.
There you go. But Pennsylvania came in third in the of all the states, and New York was number 10. So as you say, they did rank pretty high, and I think that's a good thing. Not only do teachers care about the students, I think in most cases they're pretty well taken care of as well.
Yeah. An interesting article in the Wellsville Daily, which is not too far from where you are, Ralph, about Genesee Valley Central School District. Kind of a proactive approach to becoming a full-service community school. What does that mean, Ralph?
Well, it's really interesting. Really, if anybody knows where the Genesee Valley Central School is, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Think North Dakota, right?
Yeah. Culturally isolated. There's no industry to speak of. It's around the area of Angelica, which is just off Route 86. And to their credit, the superintendent and the board and other people in the community have really said, you know, it's not the students' fault that they were born here. And so let's try to provide for them full-service community school. And by that, they want to be a leader in academic services, which is, after all, what schools should always be about.
Yeah.
In addition to that, they've through a grant program, they're able to provide food for all the children in the district, not just free and reduced lunch. They've brought in dental services and health services, including mental health services. And I think this is just a great thing for their community.
Well, let's head from Allegheny County, New York, to the Orlando, Florida area. Big issue, a national story this week. A school resource officer put a six-year-old in handcuffs. Now, this happened at a charter school. The resource officer was fired. But, Ralph, we have talked about this on this program before. This really gets to the heart of your concerns when it comes to how school resource officers are being utilized inside the school.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We've talked before that the responsibilities of the officers need to be clearly defined so that there is a difference between what a resource officer can do and what a principal or administrator in the school can do. And this is a case where obviously the responsibilities and the roles were not clearly defined and ended up with a student apparently having a temper tantrum. And as a result of that, for whatever reason, the resource officer put the six-year-old in handcuffs, which says to me that there's a whole lot of lack of training on the part of the SRO, not even related to the responsibilities and the roles that one would have in a public school. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they acted promptly on this. It's really a black mark on resource officers, and I hope it will cause districts to take a look at it again and make sure that they have the roles and responsibilities clearly defined.
And then finally, we can't do an Issues in Education these days without talking about New York's vaccine law because it's in the news every day. The grace period has run out. Schools are being fined now. We're told up to $2,000 per pupil per day. And so there's incentive to get in compliance with the law here. 1,000 kids in Buffalo out of school because of this. Ralph, do you expect there to be a lot of litigation here? The districts are fearful about maybe being slapped with lawsuits because there are some disgruntled parents out there.
Well, obviously that's going to happen. There will be some lawsuits. fines. But I think the fine that you mentioned is going to be enough to say to districts that if you want to sue us over it as a parent, I'm sorry, but you'll have to go ahead and do that because we have to comply with the law, because otherwise we're going to be facing some really substantial fines. It's unfortunate, I think, that this is a really controversial issue, as we've mentioned before, and it's too bad that, you know, we're not able to come to some common ground on it. But right now it is the law, and the schools need to abide by the law, and we'll just have to see how it does come out in the end.
All right, and that will be the last word this week. So many issues, so little time. Ralph, you have a wonderful website where folks can go and check you out. If you would, what is that, sir?
Thank you, Bob. It's simply yrun.org, yrun.org.